I'm Frank Vaughn. It's April 30th, 2026. I think people are probably tired of hearing me talk about the most important thing that's going on in the world right now. However, I feel compelled to talk about it for a brief moment today. I'll try and maintain myself short. Just a couple quotes. The Israeli Defense Minister Katz: soon we will need to act again in Iran to ensure that the regime cannot threaten Israel for years to come. Israel's interests are in continuing the war. Just keep that tucked in the back of your mind, that Israel does not want an end. They want a continuance, and they need to keep the United States involved. Also, Mujtaba Khamenei said today in a written speech that was read aloud, he was probably messed up. Remember, he was bombed and his whole family was killed. He was probably messed up in that a little bit. If he's alive, he's secreted away, and he may be in bad shape. Maybe he's a cardboard cutout. It doesn't matter. Whatever he is, it's the Constitution of the Republic of Iran, the Islamic Republic's Constitution, that is running Iran. It is a system. That system is in control. It is functioning. There's all this talk. Hot air, I would call it, that comes out of the White House. Maybe hot air generated by people who have Donald Trump's ear, who have the administration's ear, who are very pro-war, and of a very narrow ideological alignment. Remember, all of the anti-war people, all of the people who wanted an extrication of the United States and its empire from the affairs of the world, they've all been kicked out and thrown to the side, and the only people who are left are neocons. You know, if you watch Fox News, they're a really good barometer for how close the Trump administration is operating towards a neocon agenda. Because they, with people's short memories, they might forget Fox News wasn't exactly friendly to Trump in the lead up to the 2016 election, was not friendly to him during the term that he was in office. It was a mixed bag. The election, Biden, the coverage, the way that they covered the election of 2020 wasn't exactly entirely pro-Trump. They have never been more Trumpian than they are now. And it's because of this war. It's because of the very close alignment with the interests of the Lindsey Grahams and the Ted Cruzes and the Benjamin Netanyahus. And I just think with Khamenei talking about, it wasn't just that he made a reference to the nuclear program. He talked about fighting the Israelis and the Americans with all the weapons at their disposal. Political, kinetic, nuclear. He totally threw the word nuclear in there, whether he's a cardboard cutout. The narrator reading the speech that represents what the Iranian government position is that they said they would use nuclear power. Doesn't mean they have it. But in my opinion, it does mean they will seek it and get it. Now, before I finish on that subject, which is pretty much all I want to talk about, I just want to look at two charts. And I've been feeling lately like maybe this problem that we're heading into is too big for people to want to grapple with and wrestle with. There's a lot of inconveniences coming to everybody's lives. Some people are just going to starve to death in other places on Earth. Everybody else is going to have to deal with higher prices and inflation and structural deficit problems. And the words that we have been talking about for the last 10, 20 years about an impending financial crisis that keeps getting kicked on down the road, we're just about out of road. And this crisis in the Middle East is what's going to be a big catalyst and trigger for it. You can argue that Trump is doing it on purpose to create that crisis to justify the Great Reset. Because as we'll discuss in a minute, regardless of which direction the Trump administration now takes, whether they exit the war in ignominious defeat, or they decide to go in and double down and try to compel the Iranian government to surrender, the destiny of MAGA and America First and the Trumpian movement is already largely baked in. There's very few surprises. I know it's the mirror. It doesn't really matter who says it. If you look at Rasmussen, who you can rely on, even though Mark Mitchell's been silenced and there's all that drama that we've talked about in previous videos about reliable pollsters that are Republican aligned being told, and I say that, you can be Republican aligned. You can be of a mind that Trump was better than Kamala Harris and still be able to separate you and your views from the work that you do, which is what Rasmussen and Mark Mitchell did. I'm fairly certain that Mark Mitchell voted for Donald Trump. And I'm fairly certain that he is completely unsatisfied with the result because he voted for an anti-neocon agenda, and what he got is a neocon agenda. He has been silenced and sidelined, but if you look at the approval numbers, it is clear. The Iran war is deeply unpopular. The longer it goes on, the more fuel prices get higher because we are, once again, we're back up there. You know, people, there's a lot of noise made during the dips that oil prices are just fine. Everything's just going back to normal. And I kept on for the last couple months about how things are not going back to normal. But let's look at something besides oil just for a quick second. This is the price of urea. Starting in 26, below 400, now it's 720. Crops may get planted. Fertilizer may get distributed on fields where it's available. But there won't be as much of it distributed, which means yields in the fall are guaranteed to be down already. There are people out there, I think people are so divorced from agriculture and so divorced from their food sources, they literally think it just magically appears on the shelves in the supermarkets. There are people who say that there's enough banked nutritional value in the soil that we don't need fertilizer. Not understanding that it washes away, not understanding that most of the cereal crops that are grown in the most fertile cereal bands in North America are totally dependent on fertilizer inputs each and every single year because the soil itself is completely denuded. It's almost like there's not even topsoil. I remember the fields of Ontario while I lived there. It was like this white clay, devoid of life. Nothing would grow in it unless you put something in it. At this price, it's like price rationing. There's just not going to be, farmers are not going to be able to afford. I showed in the last video how 70% of American farmers cannot afford to put full fertilizer doses on their crops. This is in the midst of a drought and the fact that the fields where I live are still buried under snow. This is an issue. And if you go country by country around the world, you will find out that this is one of the most important issues that you're not being told about because the problem isn't today. The problem is 6 months down the road. We'll start seeing it. We'll start seeing it by summer, but the further in we go, the worse it gets. And these things, I'll just show you one more. Fertilizer exports through homebrews, slow to a trickle. It's the tale of two charts. We can go through helium. We can go through a number of things and we can tell this exact same story. This is the problem that's already baked in. If Trump leaves the Middle East today, this will carry on. There is no undoing this now. This is part of our shared experience living on planet Earth wherever you happen to be. And with that in mind, this is all going to come to a head if it stopped today. It will come to a head in November. And that's the part of this that I think people aren't understanding as well. Maybe they just don't want to hear it. It's over for Trump and the Republican Party and the way that it was trying. I swear, for 10 years, under various themes, the Trump administration was trying to steer away from this neocon agenda, only to find itself right smack dab in the middle of it. I feel that some of that directional change was sincere, but it's been completely replaced. But the issue is when November occurs and the disaster politically happens, every idea, good and bad, that was associated with MAGA is going to be verboten. No one's going to espouse it. I mean, maybe influencers will. But it's not going to be in popular favor. It's a big setback. Now, I just want to read this. More war is inescapable. I wrote this morning. If Iran is left intact and wins, it will absolutely pursue nuclear weapons. It has to, as North Korean had to. One of the ironies that comes out of this conflict, if it ended tomorrow, is first the Iranian regime would survive, doing very well for itself. But it would also, I think, be forced to pursue a nuclear weapon. Because the only thing that got North Korea left alone was detonating a nuclear bomb. I think, ironically, Trump will be the one who delivers a nuclear weapon to Iran, not the guy who stopped it. Because, in all honesty, one of the biggest myths of the Trump administration is the the way that they have spun the JCPOA, the Iranians didn't want nuclear weapons. They have not wanted nuclear weapons. The evidence is very clear that after 47 years, they haven't blown one up, even though they had the capacity. They did something incredibly foolish when the JCPOA was ripped up. And as a form of protest, they enriched to 60% to prove that they could do it if they wanted to. That's what that was all about. I think it was an error in judgment from them, but that's the politics and that's how it played out. Before this war began, they were willing to turn all of that over because they were not interested in a nuclear weapons program. They wanted a civilian nuclear weapons program, which is their right. For those who say the Islamists can never have a nuclear bomb, you just have to look at Pakistan. They already have one. You're not worried about Pakistan. You're not talking about them. You're not talking about they've opened 6 dedicated land routes to prioritize traffic from and to Iran. This is supposed to be, I mean, the U.S. mythos is that Pakistan is an ally. They're now actively working to move around the Hormuz blockade. Holy as it is, Hormuz is shut, and so they're finding land routes. The Chinese are pursuing the same thing. Pakistan already has one. If the United States cut and run today, I think Iran has to develop. I think it would take some very skilled diplomacy to stop that outcome from happening. I don't think it's impossible. I think there is a world where Iran doesn't pursue nuclear weapons, but it's not a world led by Trump, and it's not a world led by this current administration. It's not a world led by any leader I see on the public stage right now, except perhaps the Russians. There's a lot of problems with that as well. And this would require... Sorry, let me just reread it. If Iran is left intact and wins, it will absolutely pursue nuclear weapons. It has to, as North Korea had to. And this would require Trump to take the biggest L in U.S. history, which he can't do. Indeed, to get that outcome, to get that bad outcome, to get the outcome where a recession's already baked in. I don't care what the stocks are doing today. I don't care what the S&P is doing. It's all fake. It's all crypto. It's all nonsense. It's not real. It's just speculation on a daily basis with money that's printed ad infinitum out of thin air. You want to talk to me about it being real? The price of a physical barrel of oil today, somewhere in the neighborhood of 140 or 150 US. I haven't actually looked. I don't need to because I've already looked at the futures prices and they're going up. So I can tell you that the price of physical is 30 to 40% higher somewhere down the road. I'd be shocked if it wasn't. The physical value of a thing speaks louder than its paper-denominated value anyway. Recession already baked in. Food shortages already baked in. A famine of some size already baked in. And the end of the Republican Party's chances in November because all of this stuff will be able to successfully be... It doesn't matter who's doing the blaming. It can be Midas Touch. It can be CNN. It can be any leftist network. I've said enough bad things about the media landscape in both Canada and the United States on this channel that you should know I'm not cheering for those particular people either. But it doesn't matter who has the truth in their hands if they deploy it to their ends. The truth is the truth, and they will be able to lay this disaster that's coming to the world, which is coming to the world, this recession, at the very least. They will lay it at his feet successfully. Where do you go from there? If America tries to invade with its limited ground resources, or if it tries to bomb Iran into submission, it will fail. That's just history speaking to us. Bombing Vietnam didn't solve anything. Invading Vietnam, when the Americans had a much larger, more well-supplied manpower pool, it didn't work. 18 years, and it was a loss. Bombing campaigns don't work to make people surrender. Didn't work on the Germans. They had to go in by land. And the thing is there's just not enough American manpower in the region. Actually, what I should say is there's not enough American manpower available to the United States military in continental North America, let alone what's in the region. It would take a massive mobilization effort and hundreds of thousands, maybe upwards of a million two, military personnel to go into Iran to pacify it, secure it, and forcibly change the regime through the most challenging landscape that the American military would have ever had to have fought in. And right now they have about 50,000. That's why I say it will fail. You can bomb their bridges. You can bomb their power plants. Iran can do massive amounts of damage to the infrastructure in the Gulf. We can burn the whole bloody world down. They will not surrender. They have been under sanction for such a long time that they are used to lack. They know how they're adapted to it. We in the West, we don't know the first thing about lack. We talk about high grocery prices, and we talk about rent poverty, and we talk about how it's hard to make ends meet. But at the end of the day, these are first world considerations in terms of our wealth and our inability to afford things. We come at it from a first world perspective. We've never experienced, no one alive has ever experienced true lack. The commodity crisis that is already baked in will become apocalyptic under an escalation scenario, and every single idea associated with MAGA will be sundered in ruin in November. This is not a time for complacent apathy and the embracing of narrative comforts. Everyone wants a story. They want a happy ending. They want to know that their selected politicians are heroes, whether it's the Carniates or it's the Trumpians. Doesn't matter. They all want to believe in the mythos of the hero coming to their rescue. But right now, you've got a Trump and an administration that cannot admit that they've lost, which means, to my eyes, more war is almost assured. I think this weekend. I think markets close tomorrow, and then we see what's up. And I hope that I hope I am wrong on that, but there's also this other side of it. What if the Iranians take the initiative? What if they fire first? Because they view the blockade for what it is, whether it's leaky or not, whether it's fully enforced or not, they view that as an act of war. And they've said that they will respond in due course. They have spent this time, the last couple weeks, figuring out where their allies in China and Russia, and even putting out feelers to the Omanis, the UAE leaving OPEC. The petrodollar is shaking. They're not in a weak position. I just don't understand how people can't understand how the Iranians are currently winning this war. The Israelis and the Americans can level as many buildings as they want. The Iranians hold the strait. Our enemies, the enemies of the West, the enemies of the United States, the people who want to see the empire downfall. Envy's a thing in global politics. The United States has been at the top of a heap for a long time, and it was so high on top of that heap that it's taken darn near 25 years since 2001 to fall off the top of that heap. The American unipolar moment went on for 35 years. It was a damn good run. Unfortunately, it was managed by the likes of Clintons and Obamas and Bushes and now Trumps. Managed to the point where all of that excess social, political, human, military capital was spent as the enemies of the United States sharpened their knives, retooled their militaries, used Ukraine as a testing ground to develop the world's next generation militaries that aren't dependent on aircraft carriers and airplanes, but are ballistic missile. Like, back when Canada was producing the Avro Arrow, when it looked like we were going to be an aviation powerhouse, but we had the best aircraft in the world. And it was decided by Diefenbaker that we were going to scrap that because the Americans said, we're going to ballistic missiles. There's no need for this preponderance of strategic air power anymore. We're going to go to ballistic missiles and that'll take care of everything, intercontinentals. They knew what was up. They knew that change was necessary. But somehow we find ourselves in 2026. And we're outgunned, even if not in sheer kinetic joule-by-joule measurements. The United States has met its match in Iran. It cannot compel the Iranian government and the Iranian military to lay down their arms. And they maintain the capacity to do damage to just about everything of value to the petrodollar in the region. And we haven't even tapped into what the Chinese are sitting on and what the Russians are sitting on. America's adversaries have been preparing to neutralize the American military. They've 20, 30 years of research and development, particularly in China, has been tooled to one thing. If there's a war, to be able to counter American power very fast. It's like I've been saying before, those carrier groups and all of those naval assets that are sailing around the water and all the might that Donald Trump is talking about, it only exists because the rest of the world refuses to shoot at it. What happens when they stop refusing to shoot? Right now, they're happy to let Iran do the shooting. I hope we get through the weekend, and I hope I'm wrong, but I just have this feeling that somewhere between Trump's ego and Iran's self-viewed right to self-defense, someone's going to start shooting again. And I don't think it matters who. I think the third chapter is the worst chapter. I think we're already in the middle of an unfolding disaster that there's no avoiding, even if the war stopped. And that once the shooting starts, that disaster becomes exponentially greater. The beautiful thing is, the silver lining, if you will, is you happen to be on this side of events. You still have some time for action. You still have time to make your own plans and your own adjustments. You know, people are always asking me all the time, what can I do? I don't know what you can do. Aside from realistically assessing the situation in the world and looking at developments and like being honest with yourself, not being loyal to a politician, particular team, but looking at the actual circumstances and accepting that those circumstances are what you're dealing with, and then making adjustments appropriate to your own life. That's the best recommendation I can make. What I personally feel, hey, I got out of Ontario. I got away from Toronto. I moved my family thousands of kilometers away from that. That was a heck of a step for me. When it comes to being in Canada, look, you got that Nova Scotia education minister, not a Canadian education minister, but a Nova Scotian. One of the reasons I don't live on the East Coast, saying that parents have no rights to their children. I think we're a long way from any government in Saskatchewan or Alberta uttering those words. I think these are the places you want to be if you have a sense of values or you have any common sense at all. If you don't, stay away. I think I'm in the perfect spot, at least in terms of Canada. I think this is the best spot you could possibly be. People are always talking, you should leave, you should go here, you should go there. I'm like, nah, I think Saskatchewan's a pretty good place to be. But what you do and how you respond, whether you're stockpiling some food or you're trying to get ahead of a few things, I think those are wise uses of your resources and time. It's difficult for me to imagine a set of circumstances where we, and I know I'm rambling and I apologize, but I wasn't even going to do this today. My heart's just not in it because I think it's just too big for people to grasp. I don't think people want to actually grapple with the implications of what I'm saying. That the Great Reset people win. That there's great fragmentation in the world. That Donald Trump is setting up the circumstances which will enable that victory. If COVID was a test run, that the bulk of humanity failed. Just think when you're encountering something real, like food shortages or fuel prices. When a Canadian drives up to the pump and the price per liter is $3, $3.50, when economic activity grinds to a halt, when the price of flour doubles or triples, these are not vague possibilities. They're things that could very well happen over the next 6 months. That's just too big to grasp. It's too big to adjust to. So people just carry on like normal because we have complacency bias. We have normalcy bias. We've all lived in a wonderful time to be alive. And for the record, the times we're coming into, don't get too gloomy about it. Don't get too doomy about it. There's this impression that, like, when I communicate these things, I'm communicating out of a sense of doom. I'm communicating out of a sense of seriousness for my family, for your family, for what we're all going to do to respond to this thing. I don't feel doom. I want to continue to exist. I want to continue to exist and try to enjoy a high degree of physical comfort if I can, and security. And I think we all maintain the ability to do that. But it's going to require an adjustment all the same. And instead of just shrugging it off and assuming that everything's going to be okay, you're going to have to put in a little bit of work to make sure it's okay for you. There's no sense of doom in that. There's just pragmatism and reality and getting ready for the inevitable. And, you know, someone, and I'll finish this way. Someone said to me, I'm bookmarking your post. It was some related post. I'm bookmarking your post, and in 2 months, I'm going to laugh at you. You know, you're going to be so wrong. I don't have the ego to actually care if my prognostications somehow turn out to be wrong and the realities of the physical delivery of hard assets that we need to survive somehow magically succumbs to the miracle of the paper market. And fertilizer that's not in the ground doesn't matter. If that is the world that we come into and it's not that bad, hey, I will dance a jig. But I'll dance a jig on top of a mountain of preparation. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.